My guest today on Fire is Christine Butewa from FemNet. We met Christine in Beijing within the World Women's Conference of the United Nations in 1995. She was a young journalist, student of journalism, and now she is the officer of communications in FemNet Africa. Christine, it's wonderful to have you back on Feminist International Radio Endeavor. I would like you to share with our listeners what has brought you here and what you will be covering in this conference. Welcome to FIRE.
Thank you, Maria. It's wonderful to be here and to meet you once again since the last time we met in Beijing. FIRE holds fond memories for me, and I'm very glad that it has reached where it has reached and the impact that it has made. With regards to what brought me here, FemNet is a member of the WISIS Gender Caucus. And as you know, the WISIS Gender Caucus is a partnership, a multi-stakeholder partnership that seeks to ensure that gender issues are integrated within the WISIS process so that we have an information society that is equitable and gender sensitive. And so that's really what has brought me here. We as WISIS, with the WISIS Gender Caucus, are following keenly debates on the internet governance and also debates on implementation and financing. And my specific follow-up here was on internet governance.
So we know that there's a lot of challenges about that particular issue because it's one of the issues that was left out of any decisions 2 years ago in the first part of WISIS in Geneva, and that is going to be addressed now. Even though the official conference starts tomorrow, the 16th of November, we know that today there were discussions about this issue in the morning, and I would like you to report to FIRE about it.
Okay. Sorry, the discussions actually around internet governance started at the beginning of the resumed PrepCom, which was 12th November. And they've been going on, and today, hopefully, they expect to come up with an agreed text to put forward to the plenary sometime in the afternoon and in time for tomorrow's start of the real summit. So debates have really, you know, been between two main positions at the beginning, and that is why at PrepCom 3 in September in Geneva, there was no agreement precisely because of those two positions. They mainly range between the need, some governments felt there was a need for a new cooperation model and a need for a new oversight mechanism, while other governments felt there was no need for a new cooperation model and that no need for a new oversight model. Instead, there would be internet governance would continue to be done within existing frameworks, but probably be in those existing mechanisms would be improved. There is consensus that yes, the current system is, you know, is very much dissatisfactory for a lot of governments, especially those in developing countries, and governments agree that the current system of oversight, there was not enough equal participation of governments in that sphere. They were unhappy with the way governments were represented on the GAC, that's the Government Advisory Committee of ICANN, and they felt that governments did not have enough control over certain issues like the CCTLDs, country level domain names, and a lot of other issues. What the Gender Caucus was putting forward then at the PrepCom and also now was the fact that we feel that gender equality and the principle of gender equality that government signed to in Geneva Declaration has absolutely not been followed through in discussions on internet governance. and we have repeatedly made statements to that effect. By the time the PropCom 3 ended, we still saw no commitment towards incorporating gender issues into internet governance. And so what some of the key issues that the Gender Caucus was looking at was the equal representation of women on internet governance structures, whether they are existing ones or whether there will be future mechanisms. And the equal representation of women and men on these structures was something that was actually also recommended by the WGIG report, one of the few things they recommended which geared on gender. So we believe that this critical issue has not been followed through in the text, and by this morning it was still not there. So we are quite concerned about that. The second issue was to do with capacity building of women, because if we want equal representation of women and men on these structures, we feel that women are still disadvantaged in terms of capacity building to understand internet governance issues, because they are quite broad and many of them are technical. So we feel it is important that governments commit to capacity building of women in a multi-stakeholder platform. So that means women in government, civil society, and private sector. And we were also supporting the establishment of a forum, because governments actually are very much unanimously agreed that there's need for an establishment of a forum that discusses public policy issues, because internet governance is not about just technical issues of names and numbers of addresses and so on, but it has key public policy issues. So governments were agreed on the need for a forum for discussion of these, for dialogue on public policy issues. So we also supported that, and we felt that yes, governments have a key role in policy making, and so they should take the lead in that, but of course with the participation of civil society and private sector. But again, women, equal representation of men and women on this forum was what we'd have liked to see. And we would have also wanted governments to agree that public policy issues, discussion of public policy issues, should also look at the gender impact of those issues, because technology, ICTs as we know, is not neutral, and there are gendered impacts on policy issues. So again, these are things that we've made in our statements, and we are concerned that they have not been taken up.
Christine, I want to ask you a question. Do you think there can be an analogy made between what's happening with the discussions about global governance of the internet and what's happening with global governance of the world?
I think so, because governance on the internet is really like a step further, and a reflection of governance in the physical world, because there are still national interests which is very much visible in discussions on internet governance. And again, that's the very same thing about governance in the world. What is there for you as a nation, and what is there for, you know, what is the stake of your nation within the whole world, and which is precisely what is happening in the discussion on internet governance. Countries are concerned about national interests as far as country level domain names, as far as generic domain names, but they've reduced it. Again, our concern was that the issues of internet governance were kind of reduced, although it's legitimate, but they were kind of a lot concentrated on the technical sides of names and numbers and domain names. And we feel a lot more should also have been placed on public policy issues and gender impacts. But yes, there is you know, a relation between that, because it all boils down to national interests and what how they can play into the global arena.
Christine, bring our listeners to the meaning that for a woman from Uganda who works in Kenya now, what it means to participate in this kind of United Nations conferences. We met you, as I said at the beginning of the program, as a young student in Beijing in 1995, and you were saying that it had had an impact on you, and now we are here. Tell our listeners what it means for you to have been in these two conferences. Those are the two ones that you have been to, right?
Major international UN conferences, yeah, in an acting capacity, yes, those are the main two.
So what does it mean?
That's a good question. When I first went to Beijing, I was a young woman, as you mentioned, just started my university, and just starting to get to have an understanding of the women's movement, what that meant for me as a person. And at that time when I was in Beijing, I remember feeling so much energy and so much hope and so much comradeness from women who were there. And that was something that was very new to me, and also something that was encouraging for me, because I felt, you know, yes, you know, women can really change the world at that point. And for me as a young woman, I felt, you know, so there's something that I can do in this world. Coming here to the WISIS has also been in that vein. What can I as a woman do to ensure that women's voices are heard in the policy making process? And for a subject like for an issue like internet governance, that has been, you know, difficult, especially because governments have taken the stance they have. But I think it's still important for us to keep trying, and the struggle for women's participation in ICT decision making doesn't end here, you know. So there's still channels for us to go on. So since governments have agreed on the establishment of a forum, that is somewhere we can still continue to push women's concerns forward. Although we are concerned that those weren't reflected in the text, there is still room for us to continue. And also at regional and national level, it has been agreed that internet governance is not just at international level, but regional and national level. So as women, we can still participate in those structures. And that for me is something to look forward to.
So what are the main challenges for us as women media practitioners and journalists who are trying to position the voices of women?
I think for us it's important to know the issues, you know, and how they affect ordinary people, so that we bring them down from discussions at this level and bring them to a place that people can understand. That's, I think, a major challenge. But also it's to make, to create awareness, because as media women, we have that power to help disseminate what is happening here, but not just disseminate, but also, you know, kind of give opinions, discuss those issues. And I'm glad that FIRE is helping to do that. So we need more of that awareness raising, because a lot of people at grassroots level, especially women, do not necessarily always know what is happening at policy level, and yet that affects them. And so I think that is something really important. And also to continue advocating for capacity building and education of women in sciences so that they can be more involved in ICTs and also understand the ICT debate. So that's a challenge for all of us because, you know, we're all still learning this ICT, in this ICT age.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maria.